talk about regeneration again. Regeneration. We'll look at it from perspective of time. When are we regenerated? And I think last week or week before last, we talked on regeneration. And it's a doctrine that I hadn't fully comprehended when I came into the church. And like I said, I had been in several different churches, and then coming into a Pentecostal church, I didn't have the best of teachers. And that's what this is about. Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world, teaching and making disciples of all men." We need to be taught. Matthew, 28:19, when he issued the Great Commission, when he told them to go out and make disciples, he says, "Go therefore, making disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." That teaching is a prominent word there, because in this latter day, I see we have a lot of teaching and a little bit of lack of preaching. I think we have to do both, teach and preach. But we have to have a good bit of teaching, because preaching really puts meat on the bones. It kind of, as Ezekiel was preaching to the dry bones, and he told them to speak to the bones, but it was God's Spirit that gave them life, that gave the bones life. But people can't hear without a preacher, and they can't preach unless they be sent. And you have to get God's people God's word. And so faith is the initial thing. You have to have that seed of faith, God's word, implanted into you. And I think a lot of people confuse the new birth with regeneration. How is regeneration accomplished? It is accomplished by God's Spirit birthing you and I. We talked about that last week, a week before last. In the book of Isaiah 4:4, it says, "When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof, by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning." So it is God's Spirit that he promised in Isaiah and Ezekiel and Joel and all of the rest of the Old Testament, that at one day that he would send his Spirit and give his people a changed heart, where they would obey his law, where they'll be able to obey his law. That's a regeneration. In other words, when he changed and given them a new heart, a circumcised heart. But we can't confuse that with receiving faith, or having faith, or trusting and believing in God. You can believe in God and not be regenerated. The book of James says the devils believe and tremble. Not that their belief can save them or change them. So we see that's not the only thing that happens. Is that regeneration is an act of God. It's monergism. In other words, it's God's infusing his life into us. It's that promised Spirit that Jesus Christ says that he would send the Spirit to indwell us. It's making us alive. It's bringing us back to life with that power that God, only God possesses. God brings us back to life. Ephesians 4:23-24 says, "And be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh, untarnished mental and spiritual attitude, and put on the new self, the regenerated and renewed nature." So you see there is a process that continually goes on, but it's not a regenerating. In other words, what I tried to get to you, that a regeneration is a one-time act of God, the birth. You don't be born two or three different times. You know, you was only born once, physically born once. But you need to be spiritually born once also. You have to be spiritually born. So continue on reading. Ephesians says, and put on the new self, the regenerated and renewed nature, created in God's image, God-like in the righteousness and holiness of truth, living in a way that expresses to God your gratitude for your salvation. Now that says your gratitude for your salvation. So as I preached two or three weeks ago about Zacchaeus, and he says salvation had came to Zacchaeus' house, and we see Zacchaeus became a changed man. He says, if I had stolen from anybody or taken what was not right, he would give it back or whatever. All those was actions of Zacchaeus changing or doing better, but he wasn't regenerated in the fact that regeneration only occurred after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. After the resurrection of Jesus Christ is when people begin to be regenerated, made anew. God's great love and free gift, his rich grace and abundant mercy are the cause of the rebirth. The mighty power of God, the power that raised Christ from the dead, is displayed in the regeneration and conversion of sinners. Now, notice I said regeneration and conversion of sinners. Now, you remember I told you I came into the Pentecostal church and they didn't look at it the way the Baptist churches did. The Baptist churches baptized me when I was maybe 5 or 6 years old, many a year back. But then we were baptized again when I came into Pentecostal church, because they look at baptism a different way. Some of them do. Some of them have progressed to understand, but some of the older ones, especially where I came from, thought that you could be born of that does something. But baptism is a burial. That's symbolic of being buried with Christ. So baptism doesn't regenerate you or make you new. We see Simon the sorcerer was baptized, but he still was the same old greedy money-clutching person. And Peter said that he and his money would perish. It wasn't, God hadn't affected a change in him. In Christian circles, conversion and regeneration are treated as being one and the same experience. You've heard years back, and here just a few, everybody was going through, talking about being born again. Being born again. Well, I think they was misusing or misrepresenting the term born again. Born again is only something that God does, and just because a lot of people have faith or believe in Jesus Christ and they say, well, pray this sinner man's prayer or pray this prayer and you saved and shake the preacher's hand and do all this and you accept Christ and you've made a decision, that doesn't birth you, because you're not born of the will of man. It's not of blood. It's not of your parental lineage or how long you've been in church or what you've been doing. You're not born of the will of man, nor born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. But you're born by the will of God. God births you into his family. Now, when he says that he give you power to become sons of God, in other words, that's adoption. That's adopting you into his family. But there is a process in which you have to what? Use that power that God gives you through faith. So faith comes before regeneration. Faith comes before regeneration. They are used as interchangeable terms, but although the two events are closely related, conversion and regeneration are closely related, they cannot exist apart from each other. Like it's a dichotomy, in other words. They're two separate things all of one, so they both have to exist together. They can't exist apart. But there's yet a clearly marked doctrinal distinction between them. proving that a closer study should not be ignored, that we should kind of delve into that, because that's why I say teaching gets the things that preaching doesn't do. If I was preaching this on a Sabbath day or on a different service day, I couldn't go into the exposition and do it and tell you to research this and study this, because, like I say, teaching does differently than preaching does. Teaching explores doctrine and criticism and apologetics and everything else. It strengthens you. It gives you knowledge of the Word of God. You have to have knowledge, and that's what he said. His people perish because of the lack of knowledge. And see, if I didn't study this and try to teach this to others and everything, they might have been in a church like I was or whatever and thought that I had been regenerated just because people talk about born again and being baptized, accept Christ and seek this. But it doesn't tell you anywhere where you can regenerate yourself. Can you anybody in here regenerate himself? Can you born yourself? That's what kind of stymied Nicodemus. And he was a ruler of the Jews. He was a master. But he didn't understand about that birth. Evidence of the difference between conversion and regeneration can be found in Christ's forewarning to Peter. What did he warn Peter? You remember when I told you he had told Peter that Satan desired to sift him as wheat? What that was in Luke, the 22nd chapter, I think it was, when he says that Satan had asked of him and that Satan wanted to sift him as wheat. The 30 verse of the 22nd chapter of Luke. And then we'll start at the 31st. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail." You heard that? Yep. That your faith should not fail. So he had faith because he had been following Jesus for 3 years. He was a disciple of Jesus Christ. So he believed on Jesus Christ. He believed and trusted in Jesus Christ. So he had been converted. He had been converted, but he had been regenerated. He had sent them out preaching, but they had been converted. They had been regenerated. They had been converted. Conversion can happen on several different times. He says, "Your faith not fail." That's the issue. I want to build your faith up to where faith doesn't fail. It must be a possibility of your faith failing, or he wouldn't have made that statement. And that shows you that conversion or trusting and believing in Christ is not being regenerated, because once you regenerated, that's a one-time act. He doesn't regenerate you a second time. He quickens and make you alive. Once you birth into his family, he can't go back and unborn you. You understand what I'm saying? Peter, they get it mistaken. Peter backslid. Peter had faith, and the faith was weak at the time. And Jesus said that he prayed that the faith would not fail. And he says, "And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." In other words, when you've been converted, when you come back to me, conversion would be a returning to Jesus Christ. So we know that Peter was regenerated, because we've seen that actually happen. When did it happen to Peter? He told him, because he had told him to go back to Galilee and tarry till you receive power from on high. Power from on high, till you receive power from on high. That power from on high is that same power I told you that raised Jesus from the dead. He gives us of that same spirit. On the day of Pentecost, they heard them speak with new tongues. They had become regenerated. They were given the gift. God initiated. No one else could initiate that. And after then, you heard this in the book of Acts where it says, "And the as Peter and the apostles went around preaching, It says the Spirit added to the church such as should be saved. So I can't put you, or nobody, no man or no one else can put you in church or preach in the church. That's an act where God decides to birth you, to give you of His Spirit. So the power that they received on high was that the new birth that they received of the Spirit of God, there is no returning from that. It's impossible once you have the Spirit, because once He regenerates you, Jesus Christ begins that, because it says He's the author and the finisher of your faith. So regeneration is an initiation of a process that continually, if you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. But we see what Demas used to preach with Paul and go around with Paul, but Paul said Demas had forsaken him. So he had faith, he believed in Jesus Christ, but he probably wasn't born of Him and wasn't regenerated, just like John in the epistle of John says, they were not of us, else they would have continued with us. Yes, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, and one Spirit that births you into the church. That initiation, once you become a child of God, your name is written, your salvation is His responsibility at that time. Are we understanding what I'm saying? Yes. So there are a lot of people profess faith in Christ. Not that they don't have faith in Christ, it's just that they hadn't been born again. And see, He was a ruler of the Jews. Nicodemus knew all this. He had the knowledge. And so many of people be in the church, and that's why I went over the judgments in the church, that in the book of Revelation, those people that had faith, but a lot of them wasn't regenerated, because some of them, if they didn't repent and change and receive of His Spirit, that He would come and fight against them. And He don't fight against His children. He only punishes His children. In other words, He chastens His children. But some, He said He was going to fight against. And some, He says, to those that have an ear to hear. So everybody in that church wasn't capable of hearing, because they hadn't been circumcised in ear where they could hear the gospel. They hadn't received spiritual rejuvenation. Another example would be those that come to Him in the last days. These are church going upright, upstanding people, but being morally upstanding like the Pharisee or the guy next door, the good people and everything, that doesn't make you a child of God. These people say, we've done everything in Your name. So they were under the assumption that they were children of God. They said they were baptized in Jesus' name. They fed the sick in Jesus' name. They cast out devils and did all this. But He said, I never knew you. I never knew you. Because they hadn't had their regeneration. Regeneration is extremely necessary. It's a fact that you have to be. He told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now you can have all the knowledge you want, He says, but you must be born again. To enter into the kingdom, you need to be born again. That's a qualification. That's a qualifier there. You can believe all you want to believe, but unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So Peter came back and he repented. And that's why it says, once you turn. So, tracing the biblical uses of conversion, and I got it in your notes, that you find it used 5 times in the Old Testament and 6 times in the New Testament. But 2 ideas seem to underlie the employment of the term conversion. That is, the act of turning to God. Turning away from sin. See, but it's not... You can't be regenerated by turning over the proverbial, he's turning over a new leaf, he's trying to get his life together. See, that's not regeneration, that's something you doing, and I told you, you can't regenerate, you can't make yourself alive, you can't quicken yourself. You're dead in trespasses and sin. So it ain't an idea of becoming morally and dropping off this sin and stop doing this and becoming a better person. It's a thing by fiat where Christ births you into his family, and at that time you start the sanctification process. He starts to wash you with the word. He starts to purify you. But he first has to make you one of his. And only he does that. That's something that nowhere in the Bible we see where people praying for that or whatever. That's something Christ determines. He chooses, and he has an effectual call, and he circumcises that heart, and he makes that person able to do that. The act is a human one rather than a divine act. That conversion, changing, coming, laying aside your sin, turning and coming to Christ. Regeneration is God's act, though, in the soul. And once accomplished, can never be repeated. Because what God does is forever. He doesn't have to try to get this right. He doesn't have to do it like the miracle that he worked on the man. I told you last Sabbath day about he was preaching to the man, and the man couldn't see the first time. He said, "See, man, it's trees." And he went back, and the next time he was seeing more clearly. Well, you see, being born again is different. Once God does that, that's something God intervenes and does. That's a one-time thing. That's why I say you have to study and listen at this carefully. Conversion is the act of the individual in which he turns to God. Being a human act, it can be repeated many a times. As I said, Peter had turned away from God, but he was converted. He turned, he came back to God. There are many people, say they backslide, they get out of the church, a man falls several times. It's many a thing that you can stop following the church or stop doing a lot of things and fall away, but then you get back in the church. You turn back to God. You had went astray a while, or your children may go astray, but then they turn. So conversion can happen. You know, a lot of times people, that's conversion. Regeneration is the introduction of a new life, though. It's a new nature he puts in you. Whereas he gives you life. That's why it says, he that is born of God sinneth not. It's not that that person is not capable of sinning, as he wouldn't have put, if any man sin, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, who's the propitiation of our sin. But in other words, his sin is not attributed or counted to him because he's under the blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus Christ died for him. So that person doesn't consciously practice or habitually do sin. In other words, when they do fall into sin, their conscience bothers them, and that's where you find the repenting. You remember how Peter's conscience bothered him, and he repented because he had went off sorrowfully, but he came back? You see, confession, and they're quick to repent. You remember how David says, "Lord, I've sinned against you. You only have I sinned against." So your conscience, that's a sign of the new birth. That's a sign that you are a child of God because you are aware of your sin. It's not that you feel condemned because after you're born of the Spirit, you realize that there's no condemnation in Jesus Christ, but that what you have done have grieved God, and it's not pleasing. You're walking, not pleasing to God. And anybody born again that's regenerated, they want to please God. They want to do what's pleasing unto God. It's just like your children. When they do something wrong, they'll go back. Have you did that when you were younger? Not a child, but when you were in your teens or something. You've done something you knew your parents didn't like, that you was wrong. But then you're going to make up. You go home, you clean up, you do a lot of things, trying to get on their good side, do what's pleasing to them, because you know you've transgressed them. You do that with your wife. If you've done something, or your husband, that you've done something, you know you don't. So guilt's eating you up. So you try to get back what? Into, they even call it the word, trying to get back into their good graces. and you reconcile back to that person. Well, that's what Jesus came. God was in Christ reconciling us back to God. That's why we're washed in the blood of the Lamb, because you will sin, but you won't practice it. Your goal, your purpose is to please God. Conversion is the first exercise in such a direction. Now, that is, when you have faith, then you start in the direction of regeneration. You start, and a lot of people in the church want to be born again, but it's not something they could do. If they could rebirth themselves, they would. It's like the guy that came to Jesus and said, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." So there are a lot of people wanting to serve God. And he did say that there'll be a many in the church. There'll be many a call. So that calling is a calling of faith. That's a call of faith. You hear the word of God. But preaching also condemns some. So it be a many a hear the word of God, but only a few chosen. It'll be a many of that hear the word and don't continue in the word of God. He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. But it's some that initially believe that word and turn back and say, this is a hard saying you say. Because for one to be regenerated, as I said Saturday, you must die. You must die to self. There has to be a death. You remember I told you, the resurrection is where you see a regeneration of new life. That's when you're a new creation, when you die to self. Self has to die. It's no longer about your will being dead. Your desires and pleasures, you are what? Buried with Christ. That's what baptism is a burial. You're buried with him in that watery grave. That's what baptized, that's the identification. That's the union in Christ. You must be united with Christ in his suffering. And that's where a lot of churches miss it today, because they don't want to suffer. They want to teach their people to be victorious, but without suffering, there's no crown. Regeneration is the inward expression of which conversion should be the outward expression. It's something internal. It's a circumcision of the heart. It's making of a new man. Outside, people can see that you're a changed person. You don't do what you used to do. You don't act the way you used to do. You don't walk the way you're striving to please God. People start saying, you're holy, or a holy road, or that you always doing something. It's always spiritual with you. It's always looking to Christ, right, because I've changed. I'm no longer my old self. And people say, well, how are you keeping your old self? And the devil will try to tempt you. But that's something that conversion, what we must do, we must keep putting the old self to death. That's why Paul said he died daily. That's why, in that sense of that verb of the word regeneration, when you use it as a verb and not as a noun, it's a continual pulling off that old tabernacle. Because Peter did wrong. Paul had to rebuke Peter about separating himself and eating with the Jews, separating from the Gentiles, because Peter was wrong. You will make those mistakes now. So the Holy Ghost had to separate Barnabas, Paul, and Silas, and Mark, because they were arguing, because Paul said he wasn't taking John Mark with him. So it's not an idea of you becoming a perfect man or you don't sin or whatever. It's just the idea of now you're a child of God and you got a new outlook, you got a new purpose, you have a new heart. God's not going to take the old heart. He's not going to work with the old heart. He's not going to do a fixer-upper. He's going to turn your vices into virtues. The only means of regeneration is by faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. That you're not trying to complete a work. You have faith in that Jesus Christ say, it is finished, it is done. All you have to do is trust in him. You seeing that you're not worthy, you're not eligible to do this, and that's what we do coming up in the breaking of bread with communion this Sabbath day, when we see that we're not worthy, that we need Christ, that our faith and trust is in Him, in that eating of His body and drinking of His blood, we must continue in the Spirit, continue in His Word. We must do that in remembrance of Him. He's the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And that no man's going to come up unto the Father but by Him. That we can't do it of our own. We can't. And I had a minister that used to go to church. I used to go to church with right here in this building. Let him tell it. He saved himself. Let him tell it. He's pure. He sin can't touch him. He has more power. And he always telling people how it is that they could be saved. If only the Spirit can do this for you. No, we can teach and preach to people. But there are many of people that's not going to listen to us, just like it's many of, that it be some that will listen to us. Well, we can't get our children saved. Get these people saved. You can't get anybody saved. You can tell people what thus says the Lord. You can tell them what the Word of God says. But the Spirit saveth such that it seed to put in the church. He has chosen from the foundation of the world those that He's going to save. It's a predetermined act of God. No amount of good works or keeping of the law can regenerate the heart. By the works of the law, no human being will be justified in God's sight. Romans 3:20. There's no way you can justify yourself by any good works or any good deeds you do. Only Christ offers a cure for total depravity of the human heart. We don't need renovation or reformation or reorganization. We need a rebirth. See, physically like this world. And I have children. I have relatives. I have people that don't like me talking. That this world has to end. It has to come to an end. What did I tell you? There's no fixer-uppers with God. There's no fixer-uppers with God. So, and what that was, Matthew, I was telling you, Matthew 19th chapter, the 28th verse, when he uses the word regeneration there, he says, so Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you, that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of His glory, you who have followed Me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. When he speaks of the regeneration there, he's talking about a new heaven and a new earth. Yes. He's talking about a reign when he's going to be to put down all governments. He didn't say put down all governments except the United States of America. He's going to put down all governments. The only government that will be is the government of Jesus Christ. We're not even thinking in terms of any world power, any world government. We're thinking of the kingdom of God and ruling and reigning with Him by the Word of God. So that regeneration of all things, this earth, the world, all the things of the world are passing away. So we don't put stock in that, and we walk by faith that we know that this is going to happen. We can't see it, but by faith. I say you have to have faith. Regeneration, that foundation stands on faith. So faith comes first, I believe. All these years and teachings, and you'll hear the reformers and different people about this. Walter Scott had a commentary in which he says, regeneration is an objective state of condition. While the new birth is the expression of an inward, a subjective one, the washing of regeneration can only be witnessed by the eye of God as it indicates an internal condition. In other words, the washing of regeneration, that washing, we're going to go through washings after I teach two or three more series on regeneration, because you hear the washings of regeneration. In other words, God is sanctifying you. And the way that He does that makes you a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus, is through His Word. We're washed and cleansed by the Word. But those that said, had not did all these, they were depending on what they did or the works to save them of what they had did. and not in their faith in Jesus Christ and that he had birthed them again. Because we go see where it was some that did good deeds and did good things, and this birth of this what they had to come from God, because he says, come ye and enter into the kingdom. And they say, well, when did we do? He said, well, when you did it to the least of these. He said, when did you see me hungry? When did you see me naked? He says, as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it also to me. So they wasn't pursuing after the kingdom, but God had regenerated them. He had birthed them into the kingdom. So we have to see, we have to realize, that's why I wanted to go through judging first. We have to be careful on judging and judging others and judging the world. We have to make sure what we're doing is of God, and that it's slowly God manifests these things to his children. So we won't be making those mistakes to be generated, that viciousness goes out of you. I was telling someone, you stop making excuses. Do you have someone, every time you tell them about something, they make an excuse why they did it, or make an excuse, instead of saying, you know, I shouldn't have did that. That wasn't right. Because you have to become childlike and start learning and stop excusing your mistakes. You have to confess them and say, well, I shouldn't have done that. Because your conscience is coming to agreement. But see, once our pride, if we still have pride in different things, the reason God keep putting us through these things is because we don't want to be wrong. Our pride won't allow us to say this, but God says that's a necessary requirement. You study my word, you see why your prayer's not getting through. It's because of your pride. It's because you won't speak to him or ask him or ask somebody else and confess your sins. He who confesses his sin instead of coming up, you will what? He says, if my people would humble themselves, not be proud and arrogant and vicious and attack somebody that's trying to get something over to them, if they would humble themselves and pray, then will I hear from heaven. See, in regeneration, we have to study and know the whole word of God. So that takes time. It takes studying the word of God, but you have to come out of the world. We don't have time to watch TV consistently. And I'm at fault with that just as much as y'all are. I'm not watching. I'm not being, as he told Peter, watch and pray unless you enter into temptation. And they went to sleep. We have to fight that old man. It's just like my weight crept right back up on me. But it's nobody's fault but my own. If you look at it, when God regenerates you, you start listening at him, and that's how you know you're a child of God, because you love his commandments, and it's a struggle, but you start to do good. And you start to do God's word and resist doing what you want to do. We may here remark that the renewing of the Holy Spirit is not the same as the new birth by the Spirit. Listen at that. Renewing of the Spirit is not the same as the new birth by the Spirit. The new birth by the Spirit, I told you, is initiation, birthing you into the family of God. But the renewing of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, is someone that has, like I said, you've been changed and you may backslide and you renew that spirit. David says, renew a right spirit in me, create in me a clean heart. See, because you can quench the spirit, you can grieve the spirit. So you have to do, as the Catholics say, a penance, in other words. You have to start renewing reviving that which you had quenched. It's not that you're not a child of God, it's that you disobedient, and thus the wrath of God is coming up on you in the guise of punishment and chastisement. Now, the former is a process, a renewing and the latter is an act effected at once, finally and in its nature incapable of repetition. In other words, the new birth that happens at a time and specific time, that's something God initiates, and you don't repeat it, keep doing it. He's not keep birthing you into the family of God. So don't get repentance and conversion jumbled up with regeneration, even though they closely interchangeable, but they're not the same. There's a difference in it. But like I said, regeneration is a necessary requirement. Sinful human flesh cannot stand in God's presence. That's what he was telling Nicodemus, that he had to be born again, that it was no way that he could stand in God. And that's why you have to be regenerated, because if you wasn't regenerated, you would be the most miserable person in the world in heaven. You wouldn't like to do the things that God's people like to do. Because why? You still have that sinful nature. And the flesh is enmity. As carnal man has enmity with God. There's no way they could be friends. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You understand that? So the flesh, from dirt it came, to dirt it has to return. So thus the old man has to die. That old nature that's in you. Now he don't take away that old nature. But you have to starve that old nature to death. It's like I was looking at the news before I came, and this man that they had put in jail, he had a horse there. And that horse, they said they could tell within about 72 hours whether that horse would live or not. Because the horse was emaciated. He was near death. You could see his ribs. So what happened, the flesh had been starved. Spiritually, the horse must was strong. He had a will to live, and it's a lot of people don't have that will to live. So physically, that's what's happening with a lot of people. And I was telling my brother the other day, don't fear death. Don't fear things that are going to happen to you. He's about to go into surgery. That which you fear can come upon you, as Job says. He had given us a spirit of fear. So you have to look at all your illnesses and things as coming from God. That you have strength to endure that illness. You have strength to overcome it. Whether it's being healed from it or whether it's going through. Like the Apostle Paul, he had given him a thorn in the flesh. And he says, my strength is in weakness. He had given him the faith to go through that. But he had gave him that thorn in the flesh. A man must be born again to see the kingdom of God. Regeneration is not an option. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to the spirit. That which is spirit is spirit. So if we look at God's word as a living and alive word, that's how we come to life, by doing the will of God. These words come to life to us. And the fleshly or the carnal man can't understand the things of God. He can't understand the word of God. That's why if we're not fully, completely giving our heart to the word of God and being a doer of the word of God, we can't get that eternal life. We can't grow in it. We can't grow to that point that God's trying to lead us to. There must be a death. There must be a death before you can be regenerated. Everybody want to go to heaven, but they don't want to die. 2 Samuel 14:14 says, for we must needs die, and are as water spilt in the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doeth God respect any person, yet doeth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. So everybody has to die. It's inevitable. We all must die. Stop trying to save your life. He says he who loses his life will save his life. He who tries to save his life will lose that life. So what did Hebrews, the 9th chapter, the 27th verse say, Sister Jackson? As it is appointed unto men once to die, it's appointed to us all once to die. But after this, the judgment. We all appointed to die. And the other necessity is, in regeneration, the first thing was there, that there must be a death. Must be a death. The second thing is, we must be God. Every man has to meet God for himself. Romans 14 and 12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Everybody's going to have to give account to God. Go stand before God and give account for the deeds done in the body. Nobody will get around from that. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. So we got, every man must die. Every man must meet God. Now, here's the difference. To get into the kingdom of God, to be regenerated, you must be born again. You need to be born again. That's a necessity. That's a necessary requirement. You have to, but you have to die to be born again. Because if you're still alive, you never die. You can't be born again. So you have to die, and this is a spiritual death. But you have to crucify the flesh. That flesh has to die also. Because what are you looking for? By faith, you're looking for what? A new body. He's going to give you an incorruptible body. This old body, we're going to pull it off. We're just dragging it around. Our body is no longer our body. This belongs to God. He's going to give us a new one. That's what we're looking for by faith. I don't want these knees in the resurrection. Man, you ask me how was my day? Man, it's like that guy that said he had to take a leave and take another pain pill and this and that. That. Yep. I don't want this eyesight in the next one. I want to be like Moses. I want to be able to see from that mountaintop and see way out. Salvation then. You remember I told you he told Zacchaeus, salvation had come to his house. As we have seen in the case of Zacchaeus, at the moment Jesus starts his process along at that time of the regeneration. He seals us. He's sealing us. You remember those in the book of Ezekiel, he said, put a mark on their forehead. Angels wouldn't destroy them, and he was going to destroy everybody in the city. Yeah. And Peter says, the Lord knows those that are his. The Lord knows, because you're sealed. 2 Corinthians, the 1st chapter and the 22nd verse says, who had also sealed us, God had sealed us, Jesus Christ had sealed us, and given the earnest of the spirits in our hearts. That Holy Spirit, that Holy Ghost, that regeneration, that Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. It's the down payment of better things. That's what empowers us. That's what he said. He had given them power to become the sons of God. If you use that by exercise of use, you'll be able to take stronger and stronger word. You won't be able to just walk in the milk. You'd be ready for the whole meat of the Word of God. Those that said that this is a hard saying, you said they wasn't ready for the strong meat, because you have to be able to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow after him. Ephesians 1 and 13 talks about this also. In whom ye also trusted. You remember I tell you that faith comes first. In whom ye also trusted. After that you had heard the word of truth. You had heard this preached about this Jesus. What he was going to do, what he was capable, that he was our Savior. That he was the promised Messiah. In whom also after that ye believed. Ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Ghost, he sets his seal on you. And as you continue in his word, another seal or another sign, he said, I've given you the Sabbath. It's a sign that you're my people. The Sabbath is a sign. That's a seal that these are the worshipers of God, because God rested on the seventh day. Well, the Bible says that Sabbath is a sign. It's a perpetual sign. That's why it says Sabbath have no end. There is a rest for the people of God. Adoption. You remember I said God had adopted us? Now, regeneration is not adoption. It's, you remember I told you some of these things can't be separated. It's part of the process. Galatians 4 and 5 says, but when the fullness of the time had come, God had sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of the sons of God. So once he says, ye have eternal life, once he says he gives us power, in other words, once he places us in his family, that's adoption. That's why I told you, everybody can't pray our Father. He didn't give them that prayer, you notice, till later on. He says, now pray our Father. Because some of them, he says, you of your father the devil. God's not hearing a lot of people's prayer. That's why I say it's God's people know that they must humble themselves and pray. John says we know we have the petition we request of him. In other words, what we pray for, because we keep his commandments. Jesus said, ask the Father anything in my name and he'll do it. So God's people know what pleases God and how to receive from God. He says some of us don't get because we're not asking. So there is a reconciliation. We must be, what? Reconciled to God. And who does that? Remember I tell you, we have to be in union with Jesus Christ. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He was reconciling us back to him. He was our Boaz. He was our Redeemer. He was bringing us back to God. We were lost. We had went astray. That's where the church of God in Christ comes in. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 20. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. That's why we say, forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. But in that prayer that we're praying to the Father, we see that we can't go around holding grudges and holding things against other people, because if you don't forgive other people their trespasses and sin, forgive others their debts, God will not forgive ours. It says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our trespass as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now, our walk, I think this may be the last point I can get to, is our walk here. Our way of life should begin to change. Regeneration is a radical change. Just as our physical birth resulted in a new individual entering the earthly realm, our spiritual birth results in a new person entering to the heavenly realm. He had raised us up to set in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. He raised us up. Look at Ephesians 2 and 6. See, because what Christ does is we start thinking as though this is done, that it's a path of continuing action. Even though we may not see it yet, we have the promises, and we know his promises are sure because we have our father of faith, who Abraham. I tell you, Ephesians 2 and 6, even when we were dead in trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. He raises us up. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead, he gives us power to overcome the world. In other words, to mortify our bodies so that sin would not reign in our mortal bodies, where we would obey it in the lust thereof. He's quickening us. He's making us alive. That's the renewing of the Spirit. You remember I told you renewing of the Spirit? In other words, we consistently feeding the spiritual man. It makes him stronger, makes us spiritually stronger, but it makes the physical, the carnal, the fleshly man weaker. Not a weaker body, but a weaker carnal man, a fleshly. In other words, your thought line. You're able to start to bring every thought into the captivity and obedience of Jesus Christ. You no longer lust after the things you used to lust, but it take this process, you may not overcome some of these things initially, but it's a continual process. It says, laying aside every weight and sin that's hindering us from running this race. So what happens is, when he initiates this in us, he sees us completed. We're complete in Christ Jesus. When God sees us, he's not looking at our sin and looking at these things. He's looking at our advocate, which says, Father, I died for that sin. I died for this individual. We're dealing with the advocate, that mediator. Job said, I need a mediator to stand between me and God. We can't stand between. We can't stand in. Remember I told you, we can't stand in God. The only way we can face God, boldly come to the throne of grace, is through the flesh of Jesus Christ. That's the veil that was rent. We have to be under the blood of Christ. That's the only way. So in Christ, all things are possible. That's why I say that he's the way, the truth, the life. That's the only way. It's through Christ. We begin, after regeneration, we begin to see and hear and seek after the divine thing. We start to seek those things above. We stop, you know, I joke with my wife that Lowe's or Home Depot would be my mall-like thing. But you know, those things really don't appeal to me. I don't sit down and watch TV and lust after merchandise and things. I don't just go to stores and malls and things and look at the clothes and new cars and new lawnmowers, new merchandise, my heart's not there. It's not after a new truck, a new this. You stop. But see, Satan has all kinds of things where he floods your mind. Malls are going out now. They start having the strip malls, you know, the other little stores and things. But he floods your mind with Amazon and all these things, merchandise. You can turn on any channel and it's nothing but merchandise. That's what rules the world. Every advertisement is buy this beer, buy this car, buy this, the shopping channel, the food channel. All these things, Satan, they call it the one-eyed monster. That's what, when I came into the church, they was talking about, but I see where the perversion could come. If you're sitting there lusting after all these things of the world, the lottery, they talk about the lottery on television. You think about what you can do with all that money if you want win that money. See, so the things that you think about are what you become. So are you thinking on heavenly things, or are you thinking on earthly things? as a man thinks, so he is. Where is your mind? That's why your mind has to be transformed, renewed, where you stop thinking these thoughts. That's why our thoughts are no way like his thoughts. Ways no, but our walk has to start mimicking his walk. We used to have to start imitating the walk of Christ. So we're going to end this right here, and I'll pick it up next week. Because now Christ is formed in our hearts. Now we are partakers of the divine nature. We have been made new creatures. God, not man, is the source of this formation. So now is when we begin to walk by faith and not by sight. He's empowering us to do this. Peter had faith and confidence that he could walk on the water. But Christ had the power, and Christ was there to uphold him. You understand that? Mm-hmm. That power didn't come to Peter till after the day that he was, the day of Pentecost, when the fire came down, and he had given him power to heal. The power that when he sent the 70 out and they were thrilled about it and say, well, that they were able to do all those miracles. He said, rejoice not in that. He says, rejoice in the fact that your name is written in the kingdom of God. They was happy that the demons and things were subject unto them. But see, anybody can work signs and miracles. The devil's going to come working lying signs and miracles. And that's why I was telling you last week, a lot of people came to Jesus because he fed them of what Jesus was doing for them. A lot of people come to the church because it's a way that they think of getting rich. But godliness is not gain, but a lot of preachers and churches are preaching that godliness is gain. We're not studying the Word of God to see that we have to learn to be content as such that we have whatever God has given us. And learn to deal with whatever we have and not lust after the world. But see, Peter was able to control that power later on. When the man came to him at the gate called Beautiful, the man was looking for alms, and Peter said, well, I don't have any money. Well, that kind of almost breaks the thought of people saying that preachers should be rich, should have a lot of money. But Peter says, silver and gold I have none, but what I have thee, rise and walk. He had the power to heal. Because that power, we have that power to become sons of God. Because that's what Joel was talking about. He says, in that day, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. So until that spirit is poured out upon us, we'll be like Simon. We'll be desiring the power, but we won't have it. He thought he could buy that power. He says to do something so he could have that power. And Peter said, because you thought the power of God could be bought. It's not about having wealth. It's not about anything. God has to give this to you. It's a gift of God. He's the initiate. It's nothing you could do or say, God freely gives this. You can't work or earn this. He has to begin regeneration. The author and the finisher.